it comes to talking, how would people describe you? Obviously, this is a rhetorical question. Think about it. Some people use very few words, right? Some people use a whole lot of words, and I really don't appreciate how you guys are looking at me right now. No, maybe a little bit. Some people are quiet. Some people use a whole lot of words. It's been said, research shows that we use an average of 7,000 words per day. Now, again, some people more, some people less. But the point is, we use a lot of words. A couple years ago, Global Language Monitor reported that there were 1,074,372 words in the English language. And we add, estimated, about 5,300 words per year. So there's a lot of words, right? Whole lot of words. I promise I'm not going to try to use all of those words today, but we do use a lot of words. Now, why am I bringing this up? Why even start with how many words are in the English language, how much people talk, how little people talk? Well, here's the reason. We do a lot of talking in our world. Again, some more, some less. But the most important talking we do is prayer. That's the most important communication that we have the privilege of doing. And that's communicating with our Heavenly Father. And that is what we are talking about in our series. Now, the most common form, the most important talking we do is prayer. The most common form of prayer that we participate in. Somebody take a wild guess. What's the most common form of prayer that we participate in? Okay, that was like 50 answers at once. What?
Mealtime,
okay. But specifically, what type of praying, and what are you asking God for in that, in mealtime? You're asking to bless the food. So what's the most common type, form, aspect of our prayer do you think we participate in? Asking for things, which another word for that is petition. And that's really what we're talking about in this verse in the Lord's Prayer. Petition. Now, what does petition mean? Well, petition simply means to ask God for something. It's when I'm asking Him for something. Now, I may ask for something for myself. I may be asking Him for something for my family, one of my friends, a coworker, someone that I know. I may be asking God for something for somebody that I don't know, a missionary in a foreign country, you know, that we're praying for. These kids that we're sending shoeboxes to, we don't know those kids, but we're asking that God use that to introduce them to the gospel. But petition is the most common form of prayer, and here's the beauty of that. The beauty of that is the fact that we can ask God for anything. Now, there's no guarantee that we'll get what we're asking for, and we'll talk about that in a few moments, but we can go to God anytime, any place, with anything. That's the freedom that we have in our relationship with Jesus Christ, is that we can come to Him with anything. I mean, He knows it all. Nothing's going to surprise Him. And we should pray in His will and seek His will. And our prayers have a desire that our prayers align with His will. But we have an open invitation to come to God. So let me ask you a question before we get into this morning. A lot of us came in here from a lot of different experiences this week. Maybe you're here every Sunday. Maybe this is your first time at Wall Highway. We all have life experiences, and we all have difficulties that we're faced with. So let me just ask you another rhetorical question. What difficult situation are you facing right now? And I bet, I would guess that probably 90 to 95% of the people in here, those of you in here today, even listening online, something immediately popped into your head. A difficult situation that you're dealing with. It could be a major decision that you're having to make. It could be a difficult conversation that you know is in front of you that you're going to have, that you're dreading. Maybe it's the needs of a family member. You know someone in your family needs something. And that's what's on your mind. Maybe it's your own needs that you have needs and you don't know how it's going to work out. You don't know how God's going to meet those needs. Maybe it's your own needs. What a blessing, what a privilege to know that we can go to the God of the universe with those concerns. We may not get an immediate solution in the time that we would choose, but we know that the one who created it all and sustains it all, we can come to him regardless of how big or how small that need is. We can come to him with those needs. As I mentioned, we're in this series on the Lord's Prayer, learning to pray like Jesus. That's what we want, hopefully, is to learn to pray like Jesus. We're in part three of that series, and part three is daily bread. The Lord's Prayer is the most famous prayer in all of the Bible. It is the most used prayer in all the Bible. It is also the most abused prayer in all the Bible. But it is the most famous. The goal that we are trying to accomplish with this series is this. We want to learn more about prayer so that we can pray more effectively. We want in a deeper way to see how prayer can truly make a difference in our lives. We're in Matthew chapter 6, where Matthew's account, Jesus giving the Lord's Prayer. And the setting behind this, we'll kind of review, is Jesus is teaching on prayer. He's been teaching what not to do. He's been explaining to his disciples, all of the disciples who were listening to him. He's been teaching them how not to pray. And so one of the disciples, an unknown disciple, says, hey, you know, I'm paraphrasing. Hey, Jesus, you've shown us how not to pray. You're teaching us how not to pray. We see you praying all the time. So how about Jesus teach us how to pray? You're telling us how not to pray. How about you teach us, please teach us how we should pray. So in response to that question, Jesus gives the Lord's Prayer. And in Matthew 6:9, Jesus says, pray then this way, or pray this way. He says, pray this way. He doesn't say, pray these words. The Lord's Prayer is not supposed to be some religious, ritualistic prayer that we recite. If you recite it five times or seven times a week, once each day, then you know you get brownie points in heaven. That's not the idea. It's, listen, hear me, it's okay to say the Lord's Prayer. It's always okay to say the Lord's Prayer because it's always okay to say God's word out loud, right? I mean, anytime we do that, it's okay to say it, but we need to make sure that we understand the meaning of the prayer, that it's not just ritualistic. It's not just words, repetition, words that we say. The Lord's Prayer is supposed to be given to us as a guide, and we should understand what it means. It's an outline. It's a guide for prayer. Think about it this way. The Lord's Prayer is an outline for believers to follow. It has all the prayer essentials so we can pray effectively. Within this, the framework of this prayer, it is a beautiful outline that Jesus has given us to follow. We call it the Lord's Prayer because it's from the Lord, but a better name probably would be the Disciples' Prayer Guide. It's meant to be a guide for us in our prayer. Each phrase of the Lord's Prayer has deep significance that connects us to God and answers the desires of the human hearts. And that's what we're diving into over these next few weeks. We have been and will continue to dive into that. So with that, as we have each week, let's go ahead and read the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Beginning in verse 9, pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So far, the Lord's Prayer starts off with intimacy and majesty. We started with that. Our Father, that represents intimacy. We have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But it also focuses on the majesty. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, in heaven. So we have that kind of paradox there, right? We've got the closeness, the intimacy with God through Jesus Christ, a personal relationship, while never forgetting that he is the God of the universe, that he is above all, that he is higher than all, that he is holy. The majesty in heaven, not talking about his location, but talking about his elevation. Our Father, intimacy and majesty. But then we also see within the Lord's Prayer, after that begins seven different petitions. We have intimacy, personal relationship, majesty. He's higher and greater than all. He has power. But then we have seven petitions in the Lord's Prayer. We looked at the first week, hallowed be your name. We want his name to be hallowed. That's one thing we're asking for, is that God's name be lifted up, magnified to the nations. We want that. Hallowed be your name is one of the petitions. Last week we talked about your kingdom come, or 2 weeks ago rather, talked about your kingdom come, what all that means. We want the kingdom of God to come on earth as it is in heaven. It's not right now perfectly, but that's what we look forward to. That's what we want. We want God to rule and reign in my life, and we want him to rule and reign in the lives of others who don't know him, which is motivation, really definition for our mission as believers. And now in verse 11, we have, give us this day our daily bread, the next petition, daily bread. So we switch from things concerning God, intimacy, majesty, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Now we're making a switch to ourselves, what we need to ask for ourselves. And it's very interesting that the first request that God tells us to give, switching from him, focus on him, to focus on ourselves, is this one. God, give us this day our daily bread. Very interesting that that's the first request that Jesus mentions in this prayer. So why, when he switches from God to us, why does Jesus say that this is what we should pray for first? Why is this so important? Well, that's what we're going to answer this morning. And I'm going to do it by giving you three lessons for living from verse 11. The first is this. One reason Jesus tells us to do this is because we need bread. We need bread. Plain and simple. We need bread. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Now, I brought a loaf of bread because I know how much y'all love me using food illustrations this close to lunch. But I brought a loaf of bread, and bread was really revolutionary, right? I mean, before bread came around, people used to have to forage for food, go out, look for berries, hunt animals, that kind of thing. It was more difficult. But with the coming of bread, you know, you can grow it, you can bake it, you can use it for so many different things. But the fascinating thing about bread is that every country in the world uses bread in some form. That's not true of all of our foods, right? But every nation, every people in the world use bread in some form. It is a staple of life. Bread is vital to living, to survival. It is a universal food. And for us, you know, we tend to have bread with nearly every meal, unless you have a gluten issue or something like that. But we have bread all the time. But it is, how do we mostly use bread? It's usually like a side thing, right? A roll, toast with your eggs and bacon or whatever the case may be. It's usually just an add-on to the meal. But in many countries around the world, this is the main thing, okay? This may be all they get, if they get anything. Bread to them, not to us so much, but bread to them means survival. Without this, they don't survive. So he kind of puts it a little bit into perspective. When Jesus is saying, pray for bread, he's not saying, pray for, Lambert's Throne Rolls, okay? Just a fun little add-on to your meal that's tasty. No, he's talking about survival. He's talking about our greatest needs, among other things, but he's talking about the things that we need the most. So why use bread? Well, it's because of what all's wrapped up in that word, in the meaning, what bread truly means, the significance of that. I mean, of course, it literally means bread. It means we need food, right? We need to eat to survive, and we depend on God to provide for those things. So it does literally mean bread, but it obviously means so much more than that. It's not only just, you know, actual bread that we are praying for here. It includes that, but it's not just that. It means more, because bread is not the only thing that we can ask God for. Here's what it means, okay? When we're talking about bread, yes, it's actual bread, but it means more. Bread is all of the necessities of life, okay? Everything that we need in life so that we can live for God and please God. Remember, we've started with hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. We're getting our hearts in line with God's will. That's what we want. That's the motivation, and hopefully sets the tone for the rest of our praying. So even when we're asking for needs for ourselves and for others, our goal is that we're doing it so that we can live for God and please God. We want to glorify God. We want to hallow his name, lift up his name in our lives and in everything that we do. Every physical, emotional, relational thing we need is wrapped up in bread, though. This is what he's talking about. This is what bread represents. Whether it's sickness, a job, school, family, heartbreak, we can ask for anything that relates to that. We can ask for revival in our country, which I pray that we are praying for that, asking God for that. We can ask for help to stop worrying, to stop fretting over things. We can ask for anything, everything. All of our needs are wrapped up in bread. Everything. Your role as a husband, as a father, as a wife, mother, as a single person living for the glory of God, as a widow, widower, as a child, as a student, whatever God's called you to do, the needs that are associated with that, everything, all of that is wrapped up. It's all included in bread. Look at Philippians 4:6. We're told, Paul says, do not worry about anything, but in everything. You see that underlined? In everything, present your request. Through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So two words there, everything, petition, which means we need to go to God with all of our needs. Everything that we need. Bread is all of the necessities of life. We also see that we are to go to our loving Heavenly Father to give us bread. I mean, within this, maybe it's understood, maybe it's not, but we're going to God for these things. We're not just depending on ourselves or anybody else. We're going to God, recognizing that he is the source of all things. Look again at Matthew 6:11. Give us this day our daily bread. I can come to God with the basic needs of human life. I can come to God with the greatest requests, but I can also come to him with the simplest of requests. James 1:7 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Romans 8:32, he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Will he not also with him grant us everything? We can come to him with all of our requests, big and small. As followers of Christ, when we come to him asking for daily bread for the necessities of life, he will never, ever, hear me, he will never leave that prayer unanswered. Oh no, Pastor Allen's shifting to name it, claim it, right? No. He will never leave that prayer unanswered, but he will answer one of three ways. You've heard me say this before. He may answer yes, he may answer no, and he may answer wait. It's going to be one of those three. I may come to him with what I think is a need that I have to have, or that somebody I care about has to have. And God says, no, that's not in line with my will. I have something different, which is ultimately, from an eternal perspective, better. Even if it's unpleasant now, from an eternal perspective, better. He will always answer our requests for bread, but he may answer with no. He may answer with yes. He may say yes, but not right now, which means wait. But he will always answer those prayers. It's important for us to understand this about prayer. Prayer is not, I get what I want. That's not what it's about. Prayer is about, God, I want to be what you want. And if what I'm asking for doesn't line up with your will for my life, then even if I don't like it, I want you to say no, because I know you have something different. Because the most important thing in my life is that I become like Jesus. That's, we're saved, we're set apart, and then we begin the process of sanctification. And along the way, we're going to pray about a lot of things. We're going to ask about a lot of things. And anything, God, that I pray for that doesn't contribute to me becoming like Jesus, I don't want it. That has to be the desire of our hearts. Prayer is not about what I want. It's about becoming what God wants me to be. And we know that he wants us to be like his son, Jesus Christ. Prayer is about God changing us into his image. Notice also, though, that he does say daily bread, not our three-layer chocolate cake with icing on it. Daily bread is what he says. Now, maybe we may want cake. Wouldn't mind some cake right now. But that may not be what we need right now. We may even, and listen, we can even pray for cake. That's okay. But that may not be what we need in the moment. God wants us to pray for the needs of life, though, not the greeds of life. It's okay to ask God for stuff, but the driving, the majority, the heart of our praying for bread has got to be us praying for the needs of life. We should pray for the necessities, not the luxuries. The luxuries are great, and if we're all honest in this room, we've got more luxuries than we know what to do with, right? And that's all well and good, but we need to be praying for the needs. Now, there was an article a while back, I can't remember how long ago they came out with it on Yahoo, not Yahoo News, called The 8 Weirdest Jobs in the World. The 8 Weirdest Jobs in the World. And one of these jobs was a bed warmer. Yes, a job. So somebody performs this job, a bed warmer. In the wintertime, you know, we're starting to get into that time of year. Time change, everybody loves it, right? But that is pretty soon it's going to be getting cold. And you go to bed, your sheets are cold, your bed is cold. And studies have shown that it's harder to go to sleep when your bed's cold. Okay, they've done sleep studies, shown it's harder to go to sleep. So at a Holiday Inn in London, this is no joke, I'm not making this up, a Holiday Inn in London, they have a bed warmer. They have a guy that is his job, okay? So let's say you're staying at the Holiday Inn and you don't like to go to bed in a cold bed, you can order this service. This dude puts on a full body, like, sanitary suit, germ-free suit, and will go lay in your bed before you get there and warm it up for you. Hey, listen, some of you students, you're getting ready to graduate. This could be a career opportunity for you, okay? Think about it. I mean, can't be that difficult, right? But that's actually something you could pay for within your stay at the Holiday Inn in London. Okay, so verse 11 is not teaching us, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble holding it together over this one. It's not teaching us, dear God, I really don't like going to sleep in a cold bed. Could you please send me some dude in a warm fuzzy outfit that could lay in my bed and warm it up for a little while? That's not verse 11. Okay, I guess it's okay to pray for that. I don't, you know, I could go a lot of different directions there, and I'm not going to. But verse 11 is not teaching us to pray for the luxuries. That's fine, but that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the necessities. This represents survival, okay? It represents praying for the things that we know we cannot survive without. The things that we know we need, that God shows us we need for us to become more like his son, Jesus Christ. And even the things that we think we need that we're wrong about, we're praying about the things that he knows we need. And we're willing to listen and follow his direction. What it basically means is that we expect and trust God to meet our most basic needs. That's what this means. We expect and we trust God to meet our most basic needs. And then we have to be willing to be content with those basic needs. If that's all he ever gives us, we have to be content with that. He usually gives us more because he's gracious, but we have to be content and then be thankful for those basic needs. We have to be content. We have to be thankful. If all we ever get is basic needs, that's more than we ever deserve. And we should be thankful for that and content with that. And if God, by his grace, allows abundance beyond our basic needs, then we should receive it with humble gratitude. And by the way, that's most of us, if not all of us, in this room today. There may be some exceptions to that, okay? I don't know your situation. Don't know where some of you, what you carried, baggage that you carried in here today. But I know for me and my family, I fall into that category. It's more than I deserve, more than I need. And I need to work at being humble and gracious, grateful for the things that God gives me. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, Paul says, if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation, a trap, and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge people into ruin and destruction. Doesn't mean if you're rich, you're, you know, evil. No, and that's not what this is saying. This is saying if that's all you care about and that's all you pray about, if you become obsessed with that, then you are falling, you're stepping off a cliff into a trap. All right? When we pray for necessities, not luxuries, it keeps us grounded. And it keeps us focused. But remember, God, Jesus says daily, give us this day our daily bread. Give, that word give means great urgency. Okay, so like right now, Lord, right now, give me. So what is he saying? Daily means enough for today. It's not that complicated. Enough for today. So what this is saying is that each day I pray with great urgency for my needs for today, okay? In our culture, we have a tough time understanding what this means, all right? In Jesus' time, in this culture, the people he's speaking to, they live day by day, okay? They would, you know, get up, eat some form of bread. They would go to work all day, get paid for that day's work, day's wages for that day's work. It wasn't like us. They didn't get paid every 2 weeks, every month, whatever. They got paid for that day's work. They would go buy the food that they needed for that evening. For the next morning, only ate two meals a day if they were blessed. They ate two meals a day. They would pay for the food for that evening, the next morning, and then they would do it all over again. Day by day by day. That's how they lived. And that's how a lot of people live around the world today. You know, they would have maybe a piece of bread, some cheese, possibly some fruit. But the point is, they would make money that day to pay for that day's amount of food. So when Jesus is saying, pray for daily bread, that's what they're thinking. We don't think that way because we don't live that way, but that's what they are thinking. But it's still that way in a lot of parts of the world, around the world. I brought a picture of an Indian rickshaw driver. This is a rickshaw driver in India. These are some of the most hardest working people ever. I mean, when we were in China, we rode in a rickshaw, and I kind of felt sorry for the guy that was, you know, peddling us around, but that's the way he made his living. But here's the deal. A rickshaw driver in India, they will carry people, they will carry goods, and that's how they make a living, that's how they earn a living. But for many of them, if not most of them, that's also their home. That's where they sleep at night. Okay, but here's the deal. They live, this is why I brought this picture, they live the same way that the people that Jesus is talking to lived. They make money for that day, they buy food for that day, go to bed in their rickshaw, wake up the next morning, eat whatever they've purchased with the previous day's wages, and do it all over again. They live day by day by day. Now, why am I spending so much time talking about this? Well, the reason is if I had to wake up every morning not knowing for sure if I made enough money, if I was going to make enough money to pay for my family to eat that day, I would have an easier time praying for my daily bread the way Jesus wants me to pray for my needs in life. If I lived day by day by day like this guy does, like the people Jesus is talking to here does, I would have a better understanding of what it means to pray for daily bread. But here's where we are as most Americans. For the vast majority of us in the United States, we don't pray for daily bread because we do not live day to day. Now, this is not meant to be a sermon about guilt. This whole series is not about guilt. It's not about prayer guilt. It's about prayer growth, okay? But we do need to be aware of the fact that for the most part in the United States, we don't live day by day. We don't wake up every morning asking, will I eat today? Usually we wake up asking or praying, Lord, please help me not to overeat today, right? And maybe we need to pray that prayer before we go to lunch here in a few minutes, okay? That's our mindset. We're not usually waking up wondering where our next meal is going to come from. I'm not, again, not a guilt trip here, but because God has blessed us so much, what I'm trying to communicate is that because this is about prayer and praying the right way, we need to be responsible with what God has blessed us with. God has blessed us. And here's what I'm talking about. In our understanding of abundance, let's just simply not take God for granted, because it could all go away in a heartbeat. Let's not take God for granted. Let's not act like we are the source of all that we have. Let's be grateful for what we do have and not gripe about what we don't have. I struggle with that. How about you? Times I think about the things that I don't have, get down on myself, get depressed or whatever. Ungrateful. Let's be grateful for what God has blessed us with. And if we're focused on being humble and grateful, man, it's that much sweeter when he does bless us with things that we don't deserve. Because we're not expecting that. We're not focused on that. We're not consumed with that. Give us our daily bread. It can be difficult for us. You know, in America, we want to do Costco praying. We got a Costco coming up down the road, right? Lord, give me everything I need for the next month in bulk. Then I'll come back next month and pray again. That's how we shop. That's how we buy, right? But that's not what this is. It's day by day by day. God, I depend on you. I need you. Provide for my daily needs. Why does Jesus want us to pray for daily bread? Well, Steve Sorensen, he asked the question. You know, in America where we have abundance, he asked the question, why do believers in the land of plenty, that's us, need to ask for daily bread? And here was his answer. Most American Christians don't need God. That's why we need to pray for this, because we don't need God in our lives. You know, he was talking to a lady named Gertrude, a believer in Haiti. And Haiti, as you well know, most of you, is a place of poverty where very few people have enough to eat. They don't have their daily needs. And he's talking to this lady named Gertrude, and he asked her to tell him, Gertrude, to tell him the difference between American Christians and Haitian Christians. Haiti's the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere, okay? And here was her, you know, here was her answer. You know, what's the difference? Haiti's the poorest nation. Believers wake up there every day thinking, you know, well, I have enough to eat, so on and so forth. And here's what she said. She said, and this, man, this is convicting, all right? She said, American Christians have everything they need. If they don't pray or read their Bible for weeks, it makes little difference in their daily lives. They still have food to eat. They still have a place to sleep. They still have a regular home or a regular income. They don't need to practice their faith every day to survive. Now, you tell me whether or not that's true. We could go a week without praying. In terms of, you know, where we live, having food, I mean, we've got food in the cupboard. We've got more than enough to eat. And we could go without praying this prayer and not notice a difference in terms Now, you got to wake us up eventually, but that perspective from someone who lives day by day, moment by moment, who doesn't know where their next meal's coming from, that's the difference in her perspective between Christians around her who live for survival every day and Americans who have abundance. Here's the whole point, really this whole message, okay? We're to pray, give us this day our daily bread, because more than we need bread, we need God. And sometimes in our abundance, we forget how desperately we need God. Jesus is teaching us that we are to have a daily, desperate dependency on Him. I don't wake up worrying about what I'm going to eat. Most of the time, I don't wake up worrying about what my transportation is going to be to wherever I need to go. I don't wake up worrying about air conditioning and cushioned chairs and nice surroundings and a nice home. I don't wake up worrying about those things because I have all those things. But this is about being desperate for God, my food, my oxygen, the gravity that keeps me attached to the ground, that keeps me from floating up into outer space. It all comes from God. He is the provider of all of those things. And the truth of the matter is, we want revival. We're worried about the election coming up and who's going to be elected, who's not, all of those things. And yes, we should be concerned about those things. But the truth of the matter is, there will never be revival in the United States of America until there is a daily, desperate dependency on God on the part of believers in this country. We're not desperate for God. We may say we need Him, but we don't live and pray as if we are desperate for God. Jesus knows what we need, and it's not about stuff. What we need is Him. We have everything we need, and we still kill ourselves with stress and worry and all of these things, crazy busy schedules, and Jesus knows the cure for that, and it's daily dependence, desperate dependency on Him. Now, in the wilderness, God gave the Israelites, Roger referred to it, God gave the Israelites enough manna for the next month. No, He gave them enough for that day, right? Day by day by day. Why? Because He was teaching them dependence. Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, "Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." He wants us to live daily in dependence on Him. We need bread. Spend enough time on that one. Let's move forward. He's teaching us desperate dependency on God for our lives. Next lesson for life. We pray because we need bread. We should pray this prayer because others need bread as well. It's not just about me and my family. It's about other people. We need to pray this prayer for others. Others need bread. Look at that verse again, 11. "Give us this day our daily bread." A lot of plural pronouns in this prayer, right? Because God wants us to keep our focus on Him and the fact that we're not alone. We're not on an island. We're in this together. Not "give me my daily bread." It says "give us our daily bread." There are a lot of examples in the Bible. It's totally appropriate to pray for my daily needs. There's a lot of examples for that. And we should pray for my daily needs. We just don't need to stop there. You know, we don't need to say, "God, I've got my loaf. I'm good. I'm set." You know, that guy's on his own. He can fend for himself. There are hungry people. There are sick people. There are lonely people. There are people in need. And we can find those in places like Haiti, but we can also find those people in our own Jerusalem. There are people with not just hunger needs, but there are people all around us that need bread, all that it includes, necessities of life. They need friendship. They need love. They need, you know, the interaction with other people. Mostly they need Jesus. There are people all around us who need bread, and we need to be praying for other people's needs as well. God is the one ultimately who meets their needs, but He may choose to use us. And He does often choose to use His disciples, His followers, to meet other people's needs. They have physical needs, but most importantly, spiritual. They need spiritual bread. We are to share Jesus with them. Share what we have. Many times that's what opens the door for us to share Jesus, but we don't stop with just physical needs. We share spiritual bread. We share Jesus. We display and we declare the gospel with what we do and with what we say. And once we know that we need bread and we focus on being dependent, we become desperately dependent on God each day. Guess what happens? We're not consumed with the things that we want. Suddenly our eyes are open to the people around us who need bread. And we're more sensitive to the needs of others, physical and spiritual. Tim Challis in 2016 in Dubai, he talked about a jet. This happened in Dubai. A jet with 300 people pulled up short of the runway, tried to take off again, crashed back down, slid like 300 yards, and then came to a stop. Thankfully, all 300 people survived, okay? They crashed, but they survived. 300 people made it off the plane, but something disturbing happened to these people. Video showed this later, okay? They crash, and I don't remember if the plane burst into flames or not, but if I'm on that plane, you know, I'm thinking there's a good chance that this thing's gonna, you know, explode any moment, right? I survived the crash, need to get off the plane, but what you saw, what happened, and what he talked about is that people, you know, the air slides that people slide down to get off the plane, he noticed, or reporters noticed, that people were sliding down these slides with their luggage in their hands. Video showed later that the minute the plane came to a stop, I would like to think that if that were me, I would be shoving my family out the emergency exit and getting out immediately. But no, what happened is that people, when it stopped, they went to the overhead bins to get their carry-ons out. Something that's going to make it harder for them to get down the aisle, harder for other people to get down the aisle, and harder for everybody to get off the plane. And this is a common occurrence. Evidently, I didn't know this, but evidently in crashes that people survive, it's a common occurrence that people want immediately to get their luggage before they get themselves and their family off the plane. If that's not a reflection of how obsessed we are with stuff, I don't know what is. We are obsessed with, I'm guilty of this. I mean, I love my electronics and my toys at home, okay? I love all that, those things. We become obsessed, so obsessed that in life or death situations, people are grabbing their suitcases that it's going to make them harder to survive what they have just gone through and what they could possibly be about to go through. National Safety Board said that almost half of passengers attempt to retrieve their stuff after something like this in a case of an emergency. That cannot be us as a church. It can't be. Can't be us. And listen, this is the most gracious church I've ever been a part of, had the privilege of pastoring, okay? You are a wonderfully gracious group of people, and I thank God for that every day. But it's easy to fall into a self-centered, self-focused mindset. We cannot be self-centered, self-focused, stuff-first people. That's not what this prayer is about. Yes, God, I need you for my daily needs, but there's so many people around me who need bread too. I'm not focused on my stuff. Give me what I need to survive. I'm going to be thankful for that. If you bless me with more, great. I'll be thankful for that too. But I need for you to meet my needs. But Lord, I want you to meet the physical and spiritual needs of those around me. We live, we pray, we give to others our daily bread. Third lesson for life. Everyone needs more than bread. I need bread. We all need bread. Everyone needs more than bread. In Matthew 4, Jesus fasted for 40 days. He's hungry. Satan comes to him saying, "Why don't you turn these stones into bread?" And Jesus gives a great answer. Matthew 4:4. He answered, "It is written, man must not live on bread alone, but on the very word that comes from the mouth of God." You know, we could have every physical thing in this life. It's not enough. I could have every physical thing I could ever dream of, but it's not going to be enough. I could have every emotional thing in this life has to offer. It's not going to be enough. I could have every relational thing in this life, and it still won't be enough. We could have every physical, relational, mental, emotional thing in this life, and it will not be enough. We need more than just physical bread. We need more. We are designed for more. In Mark, Jesus said, Mark 8:36, "For what does it benefit a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his life?" We need physical bread to give us physical life, but we need spiritual bread to give us spiritual life. eternal life. An abundant life here, full life. We'll talk about that in a week or two. Abundant life here, but eternal life with Jesus. And that's why Jesus in John 6:35 said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. We need more than just temporary things of life, more than just physical bread. And many times our focus is just on the physical bread. And yes, it should be, but we need to recognize that we need the spiritual bread. We need the bread of life. And that's why Jesus said in John 6:51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. He's talking about the cross and the gospel here. He gave his life. Jesus came. He gave his life for you, for me. He died for my sins. I could not pay that penalty on my own. A sin debt I could not pay. He gave his life to pay the price for my sins. Died, was buried, was raised from the dead. Victory over death, so that I could have a relationship with him, a full life here, an eternal life with him in heaven. He became the bread, the spiritual bread of life for all who will turn to him. For me, for you, if we will put our faith in him and invite him into our lives, ask forgiveness of our sin, make him Lord of our lives, he will be our Lord and Savior from now through all of eternity. He leaves it up to us to make the decision to accept him, but he can be our Lord and Savior. Anyone who comes to Jesus and calls on his name can have eternal life. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Anyone who does that receives the bread of life, Jesus Christ. He is the bread of life, and because of that, we need more than just physical bread. We need that bread. We need spiritual bread. We need Jesus. Now, for $30 or $40, you can purchase this, the Jesus toaster. The Jesus toaster. It can be, I looked it up. The cheapest one I found was $39.99. I don't know if it was free shipping or not. Maybe if you find it on Amazon, possibly. You can buy the Jesus toaster. I think I'm going to spend my $40 on something else. Now, why in the world would anybody want Jesus toast? Now, I thought about that. Heard another pastor talk about this. And I agree with him. He decided there were only two reasons that somebody might buy this. One, in a nod, and listen, I've been doing this a long time, and this would not shock me. In an odd, strange way, there's somebody out there that thinks, man, this is so spiritual. If my bread has Jesus on it, that is a spiritual experience. I mean, sincerely, somebody. But the other possibility is that people want to mock Jesus, and I think that's possible. You know, people just want to make fun of Jesus, you know, and have this on their toast, okay? But this is out there, and you can get it. It's weird how incredibly strange and sad this is at the same time, right? How weird this is. But here's the truth. Jesus did not come to be on bread. Jesus did not come just to give us bread. Jesus came to be bread, the bread of life. And just like I can't live physically without this, I can't live spiritually without the bread of life. I can't live without the bread of life. He came to give his life. I'll finish with a story, and I'm wrapping it up, I promise. Y'all know we're an adoptive family. After World War II, not World War II, yes, World War II. No, I'll get there in a minute. Every now and then I have to go back or, we're all in trouble. The Korean War, not World War II. The Korean War, I'm about to talk about South Korea, and that should have given me a clue. After the Korean War, as with many wars, there were a lot of orphans left. Parents were killed either in combat or the result of combat, right? So orphanages in South Korea. R.C. Sproul tells a story about this. He wrote about this. There was many of the orphanages in South Korea had these kids. They brought them in. They were able to take care of them three meals a day. They gave them three meals a day, but they found out every night these kids, they wouldn't go to sleep. They were crying, and they would not go to sleep. And so finally, after several nights of this, they talked to the kids, and they found out the reason they were crying is because they were afraid they wouldn't be able to eat the next day. All right? And so what they did, they were trying to figure out how can we address, because they've been eating three meals a day. It wasn't like they had been starving. And so they're thinking, why are you worried about the next day? We're giving you food each day. But it didn't, they tried to talk to him. It didn't help. They were scared to death that they would not get to eat the next day. So what they did is somebody came up with this idea. It worked. So they started doing it with the orphanages all over. They took each of the kids before they went to bed, you know, went through the bedtime routine and took one piece of bread and handed it to them so that they could hold it in their hands. Not to eat then, but sort of like a security blanket. So they knew if all else fails, I've got this bread the next morning. And they slept like babies. No more problems going to sleep. It worked in one orphanage. They told other orphanages. And so they started giving these kids a piece of bread so that they could have security and comfort, knowing that their needs would be met. You know, we don't have a piece of bread in our hands, and I could easily have one in my hands. We've got the bread of life in our hearts. So no matter what life brings, the difficulties, the challenges, we can rest. We can rest comfortably, knowing that God's got us in his hands, we have him in our hearts, and that he has promised, maybe not the way we think or the way we wish, but he will always provide for the needs, not the greeds, the needs of his children. We can rest in that. I can rest in that. I struggle with that sometimes, but I can rest in that. You know why? Because Jesus is my Savior and my Lord. I gave him my life. He died for me. I accepted him as Lord and Savior, and I can rest. Is that you today? Are you struggling? Are you not at rest because you don't know Jesus? Well, today you can make the decision to follow him. In a few moments, we'll have a time of decision. You can come forward, talk to Caleb or myself. You can make that decision to follow Jesus. But if you are a follower of Jesus and you're like me and sometimes you struggle with this, pray the prayer of, Lord, increase my dependency on you. Make me desperate for you. Because if I can live in desperation and dependency on Jesus, then I'll be grateful and content and be able to rest. I will discover that he is all that I need. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus, give me you. Take care of my needs, but give me you. Let's pray together.